But this morning is what I felt like God had had me to preach out of. It's John chapter number 6, and it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. Here Jesus is talking about being the bread of life and all those great devotional-type studies. He fed the 5,000, he walks on the water, and all those things in this chapter. But I want you to take notice in chapter number 6, look at verse number 65. And this is very unusual what's fixing to happen here. And he said, "Therefore said I come unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father." The very next verse, he's speaking some of the greatest truths out of the Bible. Told him he's the bread of life. And if you take the bread of life, you'll live forever. Very next verse, 66, he said, "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him." Think about that. They're walking around Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and they quit. I want to preach this morning. I guess the title of the sermon will be, "Will You Be a Quitter?" Now, I remember when I announced my call to the ministry almost 40 years ago. I was a young man, 20 years old. Just hadn't been saved real long, but I'd run from God when God called me to preach. I was tired of fighting with God because I knew I wasn't going to win, so I surrendered to preach. And I remember my dad took me in the parsonage. He took me back there in the back room in the den, you know, in a very private place, set me down, and we had a little talk. I'll never forget it. Back then, I was all excited and fired up, and a lot of those things he said didn't really make a lot of sense at the time. And he told me, you know, he was proud of me and all this stuff, and he'd be praying for me, and he gave me some advice. He said, "Always stick with the King James Bible. It'll never do you wrong. It's perfect." And he said, "Don't compromise. Whatever you do, don't compromise. If you ever compromise, you got to keep compromising." And he said something else like, you know, "If you make a mistake, be man enough to admit it, and people will trust you, and people will love you. You know, you're only human. But never apologize for what the Bible says." And then he made another statement that kind of confused me a little bit, and I didn't know what he meant by it, and I thought, he's just old man, you know. I didn't really take it to heart until years later. He said, "Son," he said, whatever you do, he said, "don't ever quit. Don't quit." He said, "whatever you do." I thought, why? This is the thought that went through my mind that night, that Sunday night. We'd all been shouting all over the church and crying and praising God. Just a few months ago, I'd been on drugs and alcohol, just a long-haired redneck running around, seeing how much trouble I can get into. And now, here I'm standing in church, cleaned up, saved, and telling everybody, the whole world, that God's called me to preach. The whole church is excited. My family's excited. They can't believe I'm out of the gutter. And boy, my daddy lays that on me. He said, "Son, whatever you do, don't you quit." And I remember years later went by, and my mom was laying there in the hospital bed. "Brother Sam, she's getting ready to leave this world." And a little tear came in her eye. She said, "Son, I'm mighty proud of you, and I sure do love you." And she said, "whatever you do, don't quit." She said, "just keep on going." She said, "don't give up. Don't give out. Just keep the hammer down. Just keep doing what you're doing." She said, "there's going to be a payday someday." And I remember thinking, you know, I thought, well, I really don't know why anybody would want to quit. But, you know, people get discouraged and they quit. People get mad and they quit. People get bitter and they quit. There's misunderstandings takes place in the church, and people will just quit church, quit God, quit altogether. And brother, it just makes no sense. We're living in a day and time that's worse than it used to be. It used to be folks would get in there and they'd get a hold of it, brother, and it'd stick. But now people get in there for maybe 6 months or a year or 2 years, and boom, they're gone just overnight. It ain't like it used to be. That Bible right there said that day will not come except there come a falling away first. And we're seeing it, brother and sister. Folks have no use for God. They have no use for the Bible. They have no use for the truth. They don't want to hear it. They just as soon hear a lie. But brother, I want to tell you, Christian people are having a harder time serving God than ever before. Sometimes you just feel like, well, I just might as well quit. And then there's other times you feel like that's the only logical thing to do is just quit. I'm failing. It everything I do. I'm a miserable failure. Everything I put one foot forward and go backwards two or three, and you feel like, my God, I ain't doing nobody any good. I ain't helping myself. I'm an embarrassment to God. I might as well just call this thing off, throw in the towel, and just give it up. But I'm here this morning to tell you, child of God, whatever you do, hang in there. Keep pressing on. Keep on going. Keep preaching. Keep singing. And keep on shouting. Amen. Thank God y'all shouldn't have prayed so hard for me this week. I'm about to have me a glorified fit. I'm telling you this morning, whatever you do, hang in there and keep going. God will bless you. Amen. David got discouraged and he's in deep despair. Elijah got discouraged, weary and afraid after he had this great battle with these false prophets. And he went and sat down under a tree and he said, it's enough, Lord. I've had enough. He said, just take my life. He got discouraged and he's ready just to throw in the towel and give up. Jonah got angry, wanted to run away. Moses was grieved over the sin of the people. Jeremiah wrestled with loneliness and feelings of defeat and insecurity. And Jeremiah got put in the pit, in a dungeon for doing the right thing. And he said, God, he even blamed God. He said, God, you've deceived me. He said, Lord, it ain't right what you've done to me. I want to tell you something this morning, child of God. There'll be times in your life you'll feel like even God's turned his back on you. But I want to tell you, brother, you seize upon the truth of that blessed old book and say, God said in his word, I will never leave thee and I'll never forsake thee. Hey, brother, I want to tell you, my feet is solidly founded on the rock of the word of God. God, it's not on my feelings. It's not on experiences. Amen. It ain't on what other people think. It's on what the blessed old book tells me this morning. You got to remember a couple things if you want to. Everybody in here, let me say this. Everybody in here's thought about quitting. Everybody. Actually, some of them have. There's folks that belong to our church ought to be here, but they've quit. They don't realize they didn't just quit church. They've quit a sovereign and righteous and holy God and a caring Savior that shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for their sins. I might quit a lot of things, but I ain't gonna quit on God, Brother Sam. He's been too good to me. Let me tell you this real quick this morning. Amen. If you feel like giving up and quitting, you remember, first of all, the reality of the flesh. You just realize the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But the worst day in this world serving God is 10,000 times better than the best day I ever had out there partying. Amen. I want to tell you, brother, I've been through a lot of ups and downs and hills and valleys and dry places and dark places, but it's still good to be saved. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I'm telling you, brother, you've got to realize you're walking around in this old sinful flesh and you're going to have to fight it and kick it and stomp it and just get the victory. And keep on going. One old preacher years ago, one time he said, I'm going to fight the devil till I can't fight him no more. And then when I get down, I'm going to kick him till I can't kick him no more. And then when I get to where I can't kick, I'm going to bite on him as long as I can. And while my teeth fall out, I'm going to gum him to death. Amen, brother. We need Christian people that say, hey, I might get discouraged and I might not be effective, but I'm still going to hang in there and serve God. The reality of the flesh. Galatians 6:9 said, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season, we shall reap. If we faint not, just don't faint. Hey, just don't give up and quit. You can get weary and you can get tired and you can get frustrated and you can get hurt. All that's okay. And you can sometimes even get mad at God, and he'll allow that for a little while. Yeah, he'll allow you to get mad at him. I've had my kids get mad at me before. I understand. Let them get mad. They'll get over it. Just don't get bitter. Just don't stay mad at God. Hey, man, that's all. God understands you're human. God understands what you're going through. He knows what you're living with. Amen. Don't get bitter and don't stay bitter. It's okay to go through those things. But whatever you do this morning, don't you quit. Don't you quit. You hang in there and you sink in your teeth. And brother, you buckle yourself in and say, by the grace of God, I'm going to finish this thing. I'm going to stay in there. Remember the reality of the flesh. You've come too far. Amen. I've just come too far now. Amen. I've been serving God my whole adult life. I feel like quitting sometimes. I get discouraged like anybody. Everybody does. Amen. Everybody can stand up this morning and tell a story. Something's happened to your life. If you've been saved a while, you can tell something. I was thinking this morning, a lot of crazy stuff's happened this year in our family. A lot of hurtful things. Me and Debbie's been sick two or three times. We've had several terrible things happen this year. But you know what? I've come to this conclusion. Don't say to my family, to my boys and my daughter and my wife and all of my family, thank God, I want to say this. God is still good. Even in the valley, He restores our soul. And brother, God, someday He's going to bring it back around and bring it to where He wants it to be. God's still good. If I lose everything I got, if I go home today and there's a pile of ashes in my yard, my house is gone, I have to say, God sure is good. God's been good to this old boy. God's been good to this old sinner. God's been good to this little preacher boy. I used to be lost and on my way to hell, and Jesus came by and found me and restored me and put my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't beat that. Where are you going to get a deal like that? You just remember the reality of the flesh. Secondly, you remember the responsibility to our Savior. Don't belong to yourself no more. You don't have the right to quit. You think about what Jesus went through for you. Think about what He went through for me. Hey, it's awful baby fight of me to throw up my hands and fold my arms and say, well, I'm just going to quit. I'm going to quit preaching. I'm going to quit going to church. I'm going to quit the choir. I'm going to quit being a deacon. I'm going to quit playing the piano. I'm going to quit singing. All that stuff. You think about that for a minute. Jesus Christ sitting up at the right hand of the Father, still to this day making intercession for you to the Father. And He paid your debt on the cross. He shed His blood. He was beaten and battered and bruised. And He's emptied out. He said, my body is broken for you. My blood is shed for you. You owe it to your Savior to stay faithful and just stay in there. Stick with it. Y'all in the spit zone this morning, ain't you? Showers of blessings will be coming. I'm just saying this morning, folks, when you feel like giving up and quit and you feel like there's just nothing else you can do but quit, you just stay in there. You say, well, preacher, that's easier said than done. Don't think I don't know that. There's greater men than me that's thought about quitting. There's greater men than me that have quit. I don't understand why I'm still in it. But thank God, by His grace, Brother Jeff, I'm still here. I'm still kicking. I'm still trying to do the best I can. It ain't a whole lot, but thank God, I owe it to my Savior. Woo, glory to God. I owe it to the Lord Jesus to stay in there. Amen. You think about what He did to you. We owe it to our darling Savior to stay in the fight even when we feel like we're losing the battle. Preacher, we're fighting a losing battle. It ain't our battle. It's His. Who else would have rescued you from a life of misery and eternity in a lake of fire? Your mama couldn't get you out. Your daddy couldn't fix that problem you're in. You talk about FBI investigation, special prosecutor and all that stuff. You think that ain't nothing. You think about standing before a holy and righteous God, lost and undone without God, no excuse, naked before God in all eternity and nothing to do, nothing to say. Religion can't save you. Good works can't save you. Nothing in the world can help you. And Jesus reaches out His hand and says, I'll go for Him. You owe it to Him. You owe it to Him. I owe it to Him. Thirdly, remember this. Not only the reality of the flesh, the responsibility to our Savior, but the reproach of the world. Brother Sam, what's it going to look like? Me and you quit. Hey, I can still do mean stuff. Amen. I told a guy the other day, I said, I got scars all over my body, and I didn't get them from preaching. Yeah. I ain't bragging. I ain't all that tough. I'm old now. You start messing with my family, you'll find out. It's not the size of the man in the fight. It's the size of the fight in the man. That's where it's at, Jack. Amen. And listen, brother, I'm just trying to say, when you drop out or you quit and you desert and you go AWOL, it's a reproach. This world sees it and they're watching and they're saying, I thought he was a Christian. I thought she was a Christian. I've watched her all these years and I wanted to be like that someday. And now they don't even go to church anymore. What a reproach. What a reproach, people that had confidence in you. Not only people had confidence in you, but people who were critical of you. How about that? How about your enemies are sitting back doing this, waiting for you to fall, and then you finally do, and you fall, and you wall around and see, and they're like, uh-huh. I knew there wasn't this Christianity. Yeah, if you quit, guess what people will remember about you? That you quit. Right? Y'all know all this stuff's going on in the news. All these people, it's crashing and burning because of sexual assaults and all that stuff. Think about all the, one guy said, he said he's an icon and he's done all this great stuff. And I told Debbie, I said, yeah, but he's going to be remembered as a pervert. He didn't finish well. I mean, just stay in it. You don't have to win the gold. You don't have to be famous. You don't have to get the biggest trophy. Just stay in there because the Bible said, just be faithful. Just be faithful. You don't have to be talented. You don't have to be special. Just be faithful. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Stay with it. The greatest thing in the world for a Christian is to be faithful. Yeah. Reproach to this world. Think about the scars. Did you know David, God forgave David of his sin? But that scar, there's two times in the Bible, 1 Kings 15:4 and in Matthew 1:1, it's talking about David's sin with Bathsheba, the wife. It throws that in there, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Even in the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 1, it said he begat Amminadab, and Amminadab begat Nahshon, and Nahshon begat Solomon. Solomon begat Boaz, and it goes on. It said, and Jesse begat David the king, and David the king begat Solomon of her that had been the wife of Uriah. So you know what that's telling me? You might run to the altar and say, God, forgive me, and that's okay, but them scars will stay on you. Amen. You better be careful, kid, and stay away from sin and leave it alone, because it'll put a scar on you that you'll never get rid of. This world will remember what you did. This world will remember that you was out there in sin. This world will remember that you walked away from what you believe and what you've been taught. People who care about you, people who's critical of you, and people who had confidence in you. Not only that, but number four, keep in mind the response to the gospel. There's lost people out there that need somebody. They don't see God. They don't even know if there is a God. The only thing they can do is watch us. The Word of God says we're living epistles. We're walking Bibles, basically. I think some of us are a corrupt version of it. That's right. Amen. But the Bible, listen, you think about the people. They say there's 125,000 people die every day and go to hell. Somebody's got to reach them. This government's not going to reach them. Hey, the school systems ain't going to reach them. The world, Hollywood, and country music, rap music, none of that. The entertainment industry could care less where people go when they die. But the church cares. Somebody's got to tough it out. And it might as well be you. It might as well be me. Brother Heath, it might as well be me. I might as well just stick it out and suck it up. And listen, I'm going to tell you something, brother and sister. You might say, preacher, I've been through so much. I've been hurting. I know. I understand. I sympathize with you. But what are you going to do? You're just going to quit and lay down? And that's going to be your testimony? I'm going to lay here the rest of my life because I got hurt? You know, I got some scars on my body from different things I mentioned a while ago. But if you could see through that, see my spiritual body, you'd say, my God, what's he been through? What'd he do, run through a barbed wire fence? Spiritually, emotionally, mentally. I got scars where I've been hurt and talked about and run down. Bad things happened. Had my heart broke a few times. Just devastated at times. Though, there's no way I'll ever get up again. There's been times unto the Lord. I promise you, I'm telling you the truth. There's been times in my life I thought I'll never preach again. There's no way I'll ever be able to preach again. My heart's broke so bad. I'm hurt so deeply. I can never get up from this. I might as well just give up and quit. By God's grace, here I am. Amen. I'm still making an attempt at it. Amen. Say, preacher, it ain't much of one. I didn't say it's great. I never did, never have. Never have thought I was that great at it, but at least I'm trying. At least I'm trying to just stick in there and stay with it, because there's lost people out there. Every once in a while, the lost world, they peer in at us and they watch us and they see what we're doing and they watch our testimony and they watch our lives. You better remember that. Preacher, I feel like quitting. I know. How do you think Jesus felt? I mean, here's the Son of God. He's saving people, healing people, raising dead, and these people go. He says, I am the bread of life. That bread of life that came, that bread from heaven came down was manna. And he said, but I am the bread of life that came down from heaven to give you eternal life. And they're like, ah, he's crazy. How do you think he felt? How do you think he felt when they beat him and beat him and beat him? And then they put the crown of thorns on and took his clothes off of him and spit on him. Don't you think some of the people he had preached to and fed those multitudes of loaves and fishes and all those thousands of people that heard him preach over those 3 years was in that very crowd watching him as he's dragging his whole blood-battered, scarred, beaten body, dragging him up that hill. He's carrying that cross and he's stumbling and falling down. They're having to get Simon of Cyrene to help him to carry his cross. It's such a heavy cross. How do you think Jesus felt? You think he felt like quitting? He told Pilate, he said, I can call 12 legions of angels right now. You're not taking my life from me, big boy. I'm laying it down free and willingly. Amen. I'm just about on the verge to start feeling like preaching here in a minute. I hope y'all didn't leave the biscuits in the oven. I didn't get to preach last Sunday. I'm all jacked up. Either skip a week preaching or get mad at somebody. That's usually just the best thing for a preacher. But remember the response to the gospel. Remember, there's people watching. There's people all around us. Not only that, remember the repercussion of falling. The repercussion. I don't know if for somebody here this is for, or somebody on the radio is going to hear. And maybe you're fixing to go through something. You're going to say, I can't do this. Maybe your marriage fell apart. Maybe you lost your business. Maybe you lost your home. Maybe you've lost everything. Job lost everything he had, his health and everything. He had one person left, and it was his wife. You know what she told him? Here, Job, take this gun and blow your brains out. Wow, what a support. What a support group. His own wife said, Job, honey, he's late, sitting there, eat up with bullshit. Darling, pats him on the shoulder. She, why don't you just cuss God and die? Why don't you kill yourself? Wow, man, talk about misery loves company. Here his own wife is turned against him. And then his friends show up and they start accusing him. Amen. The repercussion of falling, there's people watching. There's people keeping their eyes on us. And when you go down, I've noticed this, when people drop out and they quit, they get discouraged or they get hurt, and people quit for different reasons. Some people burn out. Some preachers will burn themselves out. That's happened to me one time, and I didn't quit. I felt like it, but I just kept going. But whatever your reason is to keep going, whatever motivates you, you say, preacher, it ain't right to serve God just out of duty. If that's all you got, it is. I remember a space of time, asking my wife, there's a space of time there in my life, that's all I had, was just my obligation and my duty just to keep on preaching. I didn't want to. I didn't feel like it. I didn't feel wells of living water springing up into everlasting life. I didn't feel it tingling all over my body. I didn't turn on the radio and hear gospel music and feel like pulling over and shouting, have a glorified fit. Didn't feel none of that. And I ain't bragging on myself. You want to be honest? Let me tell you, really, truly, honestly, Brother Sam, what kept me going during one of those darkest, deepest depression years? These people right over here. My little boys, my little girl, and her. What will happen to them if I quit? I mean, there's times I felt like I'd like to. Really. I mean, it'll get on you so bad, you get so depressed and so discouraged, you just feel like, I'd just like to quit. It would feel good just not to go to church anymore, not to read my Bible and pray, and I'll just lay here and just do anything I want to, go to work, and just be like everybody else. That's what the devil will tell you, and it sounds good after a while. It does. And when you first quit, it feels good, probably because of the relief. You're kind of getting the stress off of it and the pressure off of it, but then you know it ain't right. But you just pick yourself up. How do you think them ball players feel when they just get, or them boxers are getting beat nearly to death and they go back out there for another round, one eye's swelled shut, and they're wobbling around, their legs are turned to rubber, and they still just keep punching. That's the way Christians ought to be. I mean, you got a lot of options, but quitting ain't one of them. Amen. Just don't quit. Don't quit. Don't slow down. I mean, put the hammer down, glory bound with the hammer down, and don't let up. Don't let the devil of the world get the advantage of us. The Bible said, well, because we know his devices, the devil will use every trick in the book to get you to quit. Because if you quit, well, I ain't hurting nobody but myself. That's where you're wrong. If you quit, it's like I was saying a minute ago, if I had quit, I'm not taking anything away from my boys. They've always served the Lord, my daughter, on their own. But where would they be now if I'd quit 15 years ago, 20 years ago? I don't know. They might still be in church. They might not. Amen. If dad quits, mama, what do you think's going to happen to your daughter if you quit? If you say, grandma, what are you going to do? I mean, what are you going to do if them granddaughters and grandsons quit? Because you get discouraged, you get mad at the preacher, and you get your nose bent out of joint because something one of the ladies said at church and hurt your feelings. Somebody took your crock pot and broke the lid and didn't pay for it or something silly like that. And you said, well, I ain't going back to that church. I'm just going to stay home. What do you think is going to happen to that grandbaby? What do you think about them kids? You think them little ears ain't picking up on every little thing? You think they ain't getting every word you say? Say a bad word and find out, bless God Almighty. Find out if they won't repeat that. They won't repeat Bible verses, but you say a four-letter word, and they'll repeat that one. One preacher was at a lady's house visiting. He said, and she was being real spiritual. She said, oh, what's that verse? She said, Tommy, go in there and get that blessed book that your mama loves. He come running back in there with Cosmopolitan. Give it to her. Told on her, didn't he? What are you going to do? What's them kids going to do? What's them grandbabies going to do? If I remember one time we had a young lady in our church. She really messed up really bad and was unrepentant and had no sense of remorse whatsoever. And we sat in my office and she looked directly in her mama's face and said, I don't know why you're getting down on me about it. She said, you did it. And that mama just dropped her head and big old tears run down her face because she was right. She's just doing what mama did. If you don't want to go and you don't want to stay in there, do it anyway. How many of you are excited and thrilled and all jazzed about getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock and getting dressed for work? Not one hand in the house. Nobody's looking forward to that. We like Sundays because we go to church and go home, take a big old Sunday afternoon nap, and then come back to church and have a good service and go by Hardee's or Dairy Queen or somewhere and get you ice cream and go home and watch what's left of the Falcons. Lord help us. Amen. But then Monday morning you get up and go to work, not because you're excited, not because you're thrilled, not because you look forward to seeing your boss, but because it's your job, it's your duty. You know them kids got to eat and them lights got to stay turned on. Same way with Christian life. You're a choir director. You got to be here. You're a deacon. Your job is to be here. You're a member of this church. You clean the church. Whatever your job is. I ain't picking on no specific person. I'm saying don't quit because you have an obligation. The repercussion of falling is far-reaching. Let me say last of all, Ronnie, y'all come on up and get us a song. Don't quit because most important, now listen to this, I preached loud and hard and fast this morning. If you don't give me your attention for the next 5 minutes or so, I'm going to take another 30 minutes. Is that a deal? Give me your attention. The last point is this. Remember the reward for faithfulness. I done hit on this faithfulness. Just remember, there's going to be a reward someday. You know, sometimes I talk to other pastors, they'll call me, and pastors kind of have a common bond, just like policemen talk to other policemen, firemen talk to other firemen, women talk to other women. And we'll talk about common problems and different things, and sometimes a preacher will say, preacher, I don't even know what to do now. Things are the way things are, and the way my church is going, and just different problems and heartaches and disappointments. And we always come to the same conclusion. The only thing I know to do is just keep on keeping on because this thing ain't over yet. There was a time when I was a young preacher that you'd go to church and people would get saved. Listen, I'm not talking about holiness churches, Brother Sam. I'm talking about Baptists. Just like us. Believe exactly like we do. And they'd shout and run the aisles and just carry. You know how when we have Jubilee, it gets on in here and it gets kind of cranked up and gets kind of crazy? It used to be like every time we went to church, didn't it? Every time we went to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Sometimes we wouldn't even get to preach. People would be shouting so much. People getting saved. I mean, it was just God just moving all the time. Now we've entered into a phase of the ministry where nobody wants anything to do with God. People don't want to go to church unless it's entertaining, unless you do something to make them feel good, unless you've got a big party going on, unless you've got something to excite their flesh and make them feel real good. People ain't got no use for it. You used to go out and knock on doors and the next day take the bus and go get them. You can't do that anymore. People don't want it. I mean, you knock on doors, you might get lucky and get one. It ain't like it used to be. Ask any preacher over 40 or 50. They'll tell you it ain't like it used to be. So now what we have to do, it's like your job. You think about the paycheck and the insurance advantages, and you think about the bonus at Christmas and that stuff. You try not to think about, man, this is an awful job. I'm tired of doing this same old thing every day. You try not to think about that. You think about, but I'm going to get a good paycheck next week. You understand what I'm getting at? The reward for faithfulness. One of these days, brother and sister, all this mess is going to be over. There's going to be a time when Jesus comes back, takes his church out, and 7 years later after the tribulation, he's going to come back and bring us with him, and he's going to rule this mess for 1,000 years. Peace will finally come. And the Bible said, 1 Corinthians 15, it closes that chapter, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what I think about? Some pastor out there may hear this, might be a blessing. I think about this. I was praying just yesterday. I said, Lord, we don't see people get saved like we used to. And well, these missionaries drop in. And they'll tell you about how many people's getting saved in Ecuador or Paraguay or Ethiopia, places like that, people getting saved all the time. You don't see that here, right? There's planters, church planters, and there's pickers, evangelists like pickers. When it's ripe, they just go through and preach and see people get saved. And then there's people like us pastors. We're plowers. We just keep plowing. We might not see a whole great big life-changing event every week, but we just go out there by way of saying it in a way of words, get on the tractor and drop the plow or the disc and just work the field and just keep on working. Because when you're working a vineyard or a field, you don't see results the same day or the next week even or the next month. Several months down the way, there's a waiting period, and during that waiting period, you don't sit on the couch, you just keep working. You keep pulling weeds and spreading fertilizer, and you keep keeping the birds out and all that other stuff. You just keep working. Because the reward is down the road. And I promise you, there's a reward. And after all these years, I told you what my daddy told me in the beginning of the message. After almost 40 years, next year I think it'll be 40 years since I started preaching. All the ups and downs and heartaches and heartbreaks and disappointments. All the bad things that's happened. And I think about quitting. The thought that comes to my mind, why would anybody even think about quitting? I still think the same thing today. Not because I'm excited or actually this morning I feel real good, but I'm talking about just on your daily Christian life, you don't feel great about serving God. But why would you want to quit? Why would you want to give up on the greatest thing that's ever happened to you? Did you know the greatest problem you ever had wasn't buying a house or getting married or none of those things. It was your lost condition going to hell. You couldn't fix it. The Pope can't fix it. The church can't fix it. This church can't fix it. I can't fix it. You can't fix it. But Jesus Christ can fix it. Why would you give up on that? Why would you bail out on somebody that's done you the greatest favor that you could ever imagine? Whatever you do, don't be a quitter. I might be a lot of things, but I don't want to be a quitter. Y'all have heard me say this. I don't want my kids to walk by my coffin with their kids in their arms and say, well, there's your grandpappy. He used to be a preacher at one time, and then he got mad and got discouraged, and he dropped out. Do you want your kids to look at you that way? Do you want it to say in the paper he used to belong to so-and-so church but now has an affiliation? Do you really want that? You know what you want people to say? He finished well. He didn't quit. Mama didn't quit. Y'all hear me talk about my daddy a lot. Daddy's a good old-fashioned preacher. He wasn't famous. None of the preachers that I know now knew Daddy except for just one or two. Daddy's been gone for a pretty good while. But you know what? The people didn't know him, knew this about him. He was, there's a woman at his funeral, she said, Brother Ronnie, she's an old woman then, but I remember when she was baptized, she's a young teenager. She said, you know the one thing about your daddy is? She didn't say he's the greatest preacher, but she probably was to her. She said, he's the same when he died as he was when I first met him. I said, now buddy, right there, that's the testimony you want. You know what she was saying? Your daddy never quit. He never changed. He never gave up. And that's what you want. Let's stand this morning, Heavenly Father.